You're listening to Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3. And we take a look at what turned out, that is, to be a better Wednesday for markets out in the Philippines. And after days of selling off, the PSEI in Manila seems to have bounced back alongside many other markets in the Asia-Pacific region, perhaps on this easing concerns about those rising bond yields in the U.S., just letting the PSE rise by about 41 points in today's session. But still a lot of concerns, especially given the depth at which the PSE fell back in recent days and whether it has something to do with the continued macroeconomic uncertainty surrounding one of Southeast Asia's most populous countries. Today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined by Mr. Rob Ramos, who's the Head of Trusts and Investments and First Senior Vice President at RCBC in Manila. He's here to share with us what he's seeing on the ground with regards to Philippine markets and whether or not this Wednesday turnaround is the start of a turnaround or just a slight reprieve from the recent headwinds hitting stocks in Manila. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health and safe in these times, at least. And welcome back to the show. Happy Wednesday, sir.
Happy Wednesday, JP.
All right, Rob, again, as we mentioned, today has been fairly decent for the PSE, up by about 0.6% at the close. But still, it hasn't been the best start to the month of March for the PSEI overall. The benchmark in Manila was heading lower in recent times. And with this, for all we know, this could be the start of a bounce back once again for stocks. But why do you think sentiment has soured in the last 2 weeks out in Manila? And could this have something to do also with that sudden uptick in bond yields we saw in the U.S. that's affecting markets both big and small in the region?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. Well, with rising bond yields, people start thinking, okay, my money has been in the equity markets for the longest time. And the main reason for that is that bond yields have been relatively low. And I believe that if bond yields are low, I'll put my money in the equities market. At least I'll have a decent risk premium. If bond yields start to appreciate, what happens is people start thinking twice. So people pull their money out of the equity markets and start looking at investing in bonds. But now that bond prices have slightly stabilized, people have relaxed a bit and kept their money pat. I think that's one of the things, because if bond yields started trending up even further, then people would think very long and hard about moving their asset classes.
Is it more this where bond yields have headed in recent days, Rob, or is it more how the rate at which bond yields have climbed? Is this what's spooking investors in emerging markets like the Philippines more?
It's more the rate that it changed. I think nobody expected it to move as such. If you look at things such as the rate of increase, if you're looking at potential inflation, at least on the Philippine setting, these are the things that kind of spook you a bit. But now that things have normalized, then people can probably keep their money in the equities market, at least for the meantime.
You've mentioned inflation, and we are seeing this scenario where the Philippine economy is still in a fragile state, but we've also seen inflation tick up significantly, especially with the rise in food prices and whatnot. The Banco Central in the Philippines has stated that they will review policy given the recent price jumps. But given the scenario where there's still an economic uncertainty in the Philippines and also rising inflation, which, by the way, is worrying not just investors in Manila, but across the world also, what type of risks could runaway inflation potentially have for markets in the Philippines?
Taking a step back, I believe that the people in our central bank are quite smart. Okay. They have experience in terms of putting on the brakes in terms of inflation. They've done so for the past few years. So I believe that they will take the necessary policy changes to measure this. Going back to your first question, you know, what do people worry about when there's inflation? The worry is, you know, if inflation happens, and the situation now is I'm not growing as fast as I used to. My GDP is not, you know, not the 6 or 7 of yesteryear. It's a lot lower. So the fear there is, what if inflation trends up and my GDP is not growing enough to account for it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that being the case, you know, you're negative in terms of real growth. That's the concern. So you either have to do one of two things. You either have to make sure that your economy grows faster by pumping more money into the economy, or you manage inflation a little bit better. And third, you know, you do a little bit of both. I think one way or the other, we're on track. The Philippines has shown its propensity to put in more money, maybe hopefully in the right sectors. And at the same time, I do believe that the central bank will take the necessary measures to manage inflation in the long run.
We're still speaking to Mr. Rob Ramos, the head of trust and investments and first senior vice president at RCBC in Manila, here and across the ASEAN. As I've mentioned a handful of times in this interview, there's still a lot of economic uncertainty in Philippine markets. Fitch now thinks that we might even see some more tremors in the banking space, which could lead to a rise in non-performing loan ratios for Philippine banks. What are there a certain set of unique challenges that might be facing lenders in the Philippines vis-a-vis others in the region that might subject them to more unique struggles moving forward?
I think the unique set, well, it's actually happening across the board in several countries, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you still have COVID cases. Some cases have not declined substantially. And, you know, during the past few days, there's been an upsurge. So what people are worried about right now is you want the economy to reopen. You want business activity to, you know, to start. You know, you want the economy to move a little bit faster. But with these cases around, you know, people are a little hesitant to reopen further. So I guess that is the starting point. With less activity, there's less income across several sectors and less lending. And for those people, for those groups, for those companies, especially on the micro and small and medium enterprises, you know, those borrowers may not have the cash flow to pay off some of their loans. So that would be one of the concerns. But fortunately, the banking sector has been very resilient. We're actually one of the best banking sectors in Southeast Asia, having a lot of buffer along the way. And at the same time, I've seen how rigid banks are in terms of choosing the right who the right people to lend to. So I guess that's one big plus. Mm-hmm. But again, I go back to, you know, to bring down the NPLs later on, the economy has to reopen.
All right. All hinges on the macroeconomic outlook for the Philippines that might lift even the banking sector. Now, Rob, I do want to look at some potentially rosier facets of Philippine markets. And some have pointed out, despite the uncertainty and market tremors, the IPO pipeline in Manila is looking fairly promising. And some say could even outperform the rest of the ASEAN space. We only have to look, for instance, at the recent announcement by Mondi Nissin, who's preparing for what might even be the biggest listing on the PSE in history. But just take a step back. Why do you think the IPO pipeline has been more sturdy and more confident relative to overall market sentiment out in the Philippines recently?
Well, it's an opportunity. I mean, what do you want to do now? If you want to raise funds to expand, understand that if you're going to expand, buying more capacity, plants, maybe property. Well, most likely property, equipment. They're cheaper now than they probably were 2 or 3 years ago, since there's less demand to purchase this extra capacity. So people have taken note of that, and they're saying, okay, I can access money now and there's a lot of liquidity in the system. So I would get that liquidity now and then use that to expand my capacity. And they're probably getting a better deal in terms of having a lower borrowing cost, mm-hmm. compared to 2 or 3 years ago, or even compared to when the economy normalizes. You know, borrowing at this time is an advantage.
Of course, a lot of this, though, will hinge again on this this economic rebound that people are hoping the Philippines can get back to winning ways. How important is that going to be to justify potential IPOs if they are meant to sustain the capital expenditures that can be had at cheaper prices as compared to, say, 2 years ago?
Oh, the assumption here, of course, is that one way or the other, we will beat this pandemic. One way or the other, the economies around the world will start moving back to normal. So that's the assumption. So that being said, it's good that the vaccines are starting to come in. We're starting, in terms of the Philippines, we're starting our vaccination programs. Hopefully within the next year or so, we would have vaccinated a substantial portion of our workforce, so people can start coming back in again. When you have people who are now earning more, they're probably going to be willing to spend more, and that's the start of consuming more. And the economy, hopefully, takes off from there.
Right, and consumption, again, seems to be one of the big driving forces for Philippine markets and the economy overall. Now, finally, Rob, just very quickly, speaking of growing markets in the Philippines, REITs have also taken a hold back home. It seems that more property developers are interested now, at least, as compared to 5 years ago, in terms of creating real estate trusts. Although they have had some trouble attracting foreign investment since the REIT space really started to take off back home, back in the Philippines. Is this just a case of early days for the REIT space in the Philippines? And does the adobo, for lack of a better term, need more time to simmer?
I would think so. I think it's a new investment, specifically in this country. And, you know, if you're looking at international investors, you know, Singapore has been doing this for a longer time. So people would try to look at the track record, you know, my dividend yield in terms of those earlier REIT investments, and probably go there. That's the prudent thing to do. As we build our track record, as people have established the dividend yields for these particular REITs, then we probably will see more international investors in the long run, as well as more local, individual, and high net worth investors.
Mr. Rob Ramos, Head of Trust and Investments and First Senior Vice President for RCBC, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to give us a closer look at where Philippine markets are sitting and where they might be heading as we head deeper into 2021. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the future, sir. Meanwhile, stay safe and happy hump day.
Thank you, JP. You stay safe as well.